The 2016 International Physicians Roundtable is scheduled for January 29th through 31st at the Tampa Convention Center. There will be 29 speakers from 16 countries, a host of hand-selected exhibitors, open roundtable discussions, two workshops, book signings, over 20 CEUs, a master naturopathic oncology course with classes online for your convenience, and so much more. Visit www.suevogan.net or call 717-254-1953 for more information.
And welcome, everyone, this beautiful Sunday morning to Monastic Times. This is our third program with Dr. Charles McWilliams. We're going to talk about something that is really cool. I actually got an introduction to this. He sent me his book, and I am just astounded. Just astounded. It's called 10 Dimensions of Homeopathic Meds. So we're going to get started. Dr. McWilliams, welcome. Start us off.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited.
I wanted to take the opportunity to talk about homeopathy because it was my first medical degree, actually, going back to 1981. And I've been studying this subject for about 35 years, and all I see when I go to the internet is nothing but confusion, confusion, confusion.
Right.
I think it was time to write a definitive book to basically state that, number one, homeopathy is not homeopathy. There's 10 dimensions of it, and what grew out of Hahnemann's original findings were several schools of thought, all of which are still, practiced today. And most of it's obscure, but nobody's, linked the concepts together to put it into a wholesome picture of the various practices of it.
And you've done that. I mean, I absolutely see it.
I believe I've done it.
I'm pretty sure you have. I mean, once you get a hold of this, you cannot put this book down. That's all there is to it. I was almost late for the show today because I was reading this. It's like, oh, my gosh, yes. And you make such analogies. You know, you're talking about the holy water. You know, people believe in that. If you're a Catholic, you believe in that it protects you, it heals you. Why would you not believe in homeopathy then? I mean, it just makes perfect sense.
Well, yes, it's all based on water. That's,
yes.
That's the subject we're talking about.
Right.
And holy water is just another dimension.
Right, it is. And it holds memory. We've seen this over and over, that water holds memory. You can try to purify, and this is my big argument, that you can try to purify your drinking water with chlorine and everything else, but it's going to hold all of the memories that of stuff that came into contact with.
Yes, however foundational, yet however fleeting. So it becomes from the point of something as basic as herbal tea, which holds a memory of the plant.
Correct.
And then going all the way up to the infinitesimal dose, where you have something very tenuous that can be disturbed by, as Hahnemann basically said, it can be wiped out and eradicated by magnets.
Right. I mean, it makes so much sense. Yeah. Well, it makes so much sense. It's so clear the way you've written it. It is absolutely crystal clear. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, thank you. That's a very kind comment. I've had similar from other colleagues of mine who have written a book, and they said they just absolutely loved it.
Yes.
It's like, wow, we've got it all in one package. Here it is.
Right. Well, it is.
And it doesn't have to be complicated. That's the other side of homeopathy is when I see students come to me and say that they're in this school that's classical Hahnemannian, I say to myself, oh, my God, don't fall in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to climb yourself out of that hole one day. In the meantime, in the mode of practice, you probably will not know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Been there, done that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not chastising Hahnemann in any way. It's just that his approach was extremely complicated. It led to the Kenshin School of Thought in the United States. It led to Boenninghausen and all this repertorization of what I would call at this point almost nonsense, because the symptoms have all changed. The environment has become polluted. People are not normal anymore. A lot of the provings don't apply. And that's one of the problems that's in classical homeopathy.
Right.
Plus, it just takes up a lot of clinical time. I mean, do you
right.
want to get results, or you want to stick to a theology, so to speak? Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, homeopathy just scared the bejesus out of me to even think about it. But after reading, I'm on to the second chapter, but after reading these two chapters, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a tool. This is something I would like to use.
Well, absolutely. It's a great accompanying therapy, and I'd like to emphasize that, because you cannot ignore nutrition. You cannot ignore nutritional deficiencies. To exclusively base your practice on homeopathy, all I can do is shrug my shoulders and say good luck.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
yes.
You're gonna be missing some very, very critical parts of the picture. But at the same time, I look at nutritionists and say, all you want to practice is nutrition? I shrug my shoulders and say, okay, you'll get results, but there's always going to be those cases that don't turn, that don't work for you.
Right.
And the same can be said of acupuncture, same can be said of chiropractic, all of these various modalities. Homeopathy is a great complementary therapy, and I don't say that in the CAM alternative sense. I mean that genuinely. It's a fantastic alternative therapy that works on a different level, that fosters compliance, it fosters healing, and on occasion, it performs miracles.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're all looking for miracles. I mean, we just really are, especially in this day and age. And there's so much out there. There's allopathic medicine. There's, you know, the chiropractic and, you know, osteopathic medicine, all kinds of different stuff. And you see people running from doctor to doctor to doctor. And, you know, if doctors had all of these tools in their tool belt, there would be no problem.
Well, let me just make a very simple example. I was at the World Acapulco Congress, I think, in 1982. And there was the French school was there. And, you know, the French school, they're hardcore. They're mm-hmm. very devout homeopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a published proving, which was actually a scientific study, where they showed that they took laboratory rats, they poisoned one group with arsenic, they poisoned the whole group with arsenic, and they took one group and gave them placebo, and they took the other group and gave them Hahnemann 9C arsenicum album.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the 18th dilution. This is, you know, 18th to the 10th power dilution, which means there's almost nothing in the water at that point. There is some, but there's almost nothing.
Right.
They caught the urine of these laboratory rats. There was significantly no change in the placebo group, but the ones that got the Hahnemann 9C excreted very high amounts of arsenic. And that
wow.
was their thesis, was that, you know, in this aspect, homeopathy basically can work as a chelation therapy.
Right.
And it was a very powerful study. It was well published and it was well done, and they were the medical doctors presenting it were very devout and dead serious. So let's just take this one simple example, and this is why I say if you want to practice homeopathy, you don't have to go the classical school to get started. The classical school, I say, is worth a study, but it's not and does not have to be your focus. Now, if you look at the tonnage of arsenic that was spread on the U.S. soils since the Second World War as a fungicide for growing lettuce. And if you look at the amount of arsenic that's found in the environment today, just in the United States, not including India, where it's just rampant, everyone's poisoned with arsenic.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. You know,
right.
You'll find it in the hair. You'll find it in biopsy. You'll find it anywhere. What would be the harm of giving arsenicum album to anybody in the United States?
None.
There would be no harm. There would
right.
only be benefit. It may be minuscule. It may be profound. But the fact is, arsenic is in all our bodies, as is DDT. So to give remedies of arsenic and DDT, you're going to have anywhere from minuscule to mild to very significant detoxification, which is going to complement everything else you do for a patient.
Right.
So my argument is you can get involved in homeopathy right away if all you did was just in your practice use heavy metals.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It plagues us. I mean, you're hearing every single patient come back with testing that shows heavy metals. So, you know, and they go through such extremes to get rid of the heavy metals when this would be so simple.
Well, then we just take the next example, Mercurius solubilis, dental amalgams,
mm-hmm.
you know, tuna fish. I mean, let's, you know.
Yeah. Right.
We've all been poisoned by mercury to some degree.
Right.
It may not be affecting us significantly biologically because it's locked up and chelated in tissue or what have you, but how simple would it be to take a child that's autistic and start them out on a regular, what Dr. Fole, my teacher, called a mesenchymal reactivation cure of successive dilutions of Mercurius solubilis, starting at the 6th dilution, working up to the 12th, the 30th, the 100th, the 200th, the 1N, the 10M, the 50M, and just gradually, you know, chelate and knock out this mercury out of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all you did, if you have autistic practice and that's all you did, actually that's all you need to do. Just
mm-hmm.
just give them homeopathic mercury, along
right.
with everything else that you do for them. It's that simple.
Right, exactly. Well, talk to us, if you would, about Vital Force, because that seems to be a bone of contention in the allopathic world.
A bone of contention, yes, a bone that they have buried.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Well, it goes back to the early school of medicine, actually at the University of Montpellier, which was considered the world's intellectual, well, at least the Western world's intellectual capital of medical education. And I think his name was Bichon, was one of the chief advocates of vitalism. He was a leading professor at the university. And then this gentleman came along and synthesized urea from hard inorganic chemicals. And that set off an explosion of controversial arguments that urea is no longer a vitalistic compound produced by organic living things, that it can be made synthetically. And that started the whole argument that vitalism is a figment of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, led to the chemical revolution in medicine, where we can develop compounds extracted from coal tar, and we can manipulate the human frame to our will, and vitalism doesn't exist. And that persists to this day. Then on the opposite side, we have the vitalistic schools, of which there are many, but they are basically entrenched in all ancient medicines, both East and West, that state that there are vital activating principles that animate the body, that guide or modulate the physiological responses of the human organism, be it immunologically or neurologically. And, of course, psychiatry, to some degree, recognizes that to be true. psychology is actually a better bridge. Carl Jung, of course, was intently involved on studying this, and it's been opposing diametric schools ever since.
Mm-hmm. And so how is this important to know about vital force?
Well, why don't we just take a simple example of the cancer patient?
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between the cancer patient that's going to live and the one that's going to die, irrespective
mm-hmm.
of their stage of their illness?
Well,
mm-hmm. it's the one that's got the will to live that will live, and the one that's listened to their doctor in their white coat telling them that they got 3 months to get their life in order, make their will, and tell their family goodbye, those are the ones that die.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. And what about intention? Is that the same thing? Because I see a lot of people talking about intention. So do you want to touch on that a little bit too?
Oh, now you're
mm-hmm.
going into the world of placebo.
mm-hmm.
the biggest bugaboo in pharmacological research today is the fact that studies have shown, irrespective of the drug, we can't know what all these drugs do because there's this placebo effect that interferes in all clinical controls and trials. And perhaps more, the white coat, the stethoscope, and the gaze of the doctor is just as powerful as the drug itself.
Yes.
And that has been determined to be absolutely the case.
Mm-hmm.
So when you compound that with understanding homeopathy, the intention basically becomes the core. Now, let's take the case of arsenic again. You can start homeopathy. You can produce your remedy called arsenicum album, which in the beginning will probably be something as simple as shopping cart, Amazon.com. You're going to buy your bottles of arsenic.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give it to patients, and you're going to have some results. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you made a study geologically of arsenic, where it comes from? You made a toxicological study of arsenic. You understood where the mineral comes from, the poisoning it does to the body, and you made the remedy yourself. You took the arsenic and you put it in a vial, and you had a pillow under Hahnemannian rule. You succussed it, and under that pillow you had a Bible, and you shook it, you banged it, and you went from 1x to 2x to 3x to 6x to 12x. What's the difference between that final product there and the one you did on shopping cart with credit card?
Mm-hmm. Intention. Yes.
A lot of intention. In other
yes.
words, you've gone from product basically to holy water.
Yes, absolutely. It's like that with all the remedies that you buy online or take from your doctor or whatever. I think maybe that the intention in these remedies, in some of them or a lot of them, is missing. So even though they may be good as a basis, but the intention, is there anything that we can do to instill or put in or add intention? Is that something we should be doing?
Well, you know, in our book, Sanctified Healing, which is in our Sacred Medical Order, I have a complete chapter on the power of suggestion,
mm-hmm.
which is well-known in psychology. It's
mm-hmm.
well-known in medical circles. Not all medics understand it, but the fact that you convey a positive healing keynote or even prayer to a patient, just the gaze of your eye can turn the tide on a case unbelievably.
Yes.
And add to that, and here's the point. you can have good intention, you can give suggestion, that's good. But once you understand ether physics, and this is what I point out in the book, once you understand ether physics, that intention is now anchored in the remedy. It's called water,
mm-hmm.
which means when the patient leaves the clinic, each time they take that teaspoon of remedy, all of that intention is rekindled in their subconscious. It's brought back.
Right.
And then it's amplified, and then it's repeated, and it's repeated, and it's repeated. And here's the thing about ether physics that people have to understand. Ether is very tenuous, and it takes action to anchor it into the physical world. I mean, this is what going to church is all about.
Sure.
Why do you go to church? Why do you go to Mass? Because you anchor it into yourself, but you're
uh-huh.
doing it in a congregation of people that with all the same intent. Now it has even more power because
uh-huh.
the aura expands. It gets thicker, so to speak. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So,
right.
The intention, the factor of homeopathy, and this is where you start to go into the Hahnemann school, understanding. What Hahnemann was seeing was evil spirits. He doesn't say it directly because he didn't want to get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people have to understand and realize that this man was religious.
Mm-hmm.
And when he proved his plants that he used, if you look at the analysis of the early provings that he did, all the plants and the minerals were toxic. He saw them as evil spirits. It was actually a form of exorcism,
mm-hmm.
not on a spirit level, but on a intoxication level. So when he proved arsenicum album, he was seeing that there was an essence that was beyond the physical realm of the molecule itself, that there was actually an aura to this, and that made provings, and those provings actually brought out certain characteristic personalities of people. So that developed a school of thought which, you know, James Tyler Kent took off on, was analyzing more the psychological, the psychic nature of people that had propensity to be poisoned by arsenic because of their very personality.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's a very peculiar study. It's a very peculiar understanding about why certain people have gravitation to these or are affected more so than other people by these compounds because there is an essence beyond the physical. And that's what the provings were all about, the provings of the personality, the mind, as it's called in the Materia Medicus. If you're going to go into the high-potency schools, which is, you know, where Hahnemann was going, and, of course, Kent polished it off with the 50M potencies, where you practice exclusively on the level of mind and you use these remedies in very, very high potencies, you've got to be able to understand the dynamic of all of this to be effective in practice. You can't talk about it, you can't tell your patients about it, it's something you just keep quiet. It's like a priest in a confession booth, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
You just keep it to yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand it and you practice it and you just watch the magic happen.
Right. Is this something that you teach at the Pan Am School?
On occasion, when I get a group of students that have the acumen to understand what it is I'm saying. Yes, I will. If they're kind of down on the material world too much, I don't bother myself. It's just like,
right.
you know, goes
yeah.
through one ear and out the other. It's like, this
exactly.
guy nuts?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there are things out there bigger than ourselves. And, you know, there are lots of allopathic, let's just take allopathic physicians. I mean, they say their prayers, so they know that there's something bigger than ourselves. I do not understand why this is so beyond their comprehension.
Well, the problem is vitalism was basically wiped out and eradicated by the 20th century. and nobody studies it anymore. And to really understand vitalism, which, you know, Dr. Vogan, the reason we have a vitalism course when people come into the order
mm-hmm.
is to get them to appreciate that, at least on a superficial level. If they don't want to practice it, it's fine, but at least appreciate it. So when you get into vitalism, you have to go next step, and that's called etherphysics. And there's mm-hmm. lots of books out there, you know, written in the 1800s about this from very dignified, at the time, physicists. And even some of the classical physicists that came into the 20th century, like Dirac, was firmly believing on the aspect of ether. And it's been said that Einstein himself never really abandoned it. You could say probably the master of the 20th century of ether physics was Nikola Tesla himself.
Yes.
He not only understood it, he made it work. It was called
right.
the electric motor and the generator.
Right.
You know, so it's a very deep subject. We don't have to learn all of it in our field. We just have to get the essence and the grasping of it. It does help, I might say, to study subjects like voodoo. Not from a standpoint of wanting to be a practitioner, but from an anthropological aspect, studying it and understanding it for what it is. But the fact is, if you've talked to anybody that's gone through a voodoo ritual or has been affected by it, it's very real in their mind. You can't convince them otherwise.
Right.
You know. And in my case, I went to the Philippines. I saw Alex Urbito excavate what looked like chicken gizzards out of three different patients, one of whom was a medical doctor, right before my eyes, blood coming out of the belly, blood coming out of the neck, saying a prayer, opening my eyes, and the blood's gone.
Wow. Wow.
That's ether physics.
Right.
And he admitted that. He had enough acumen to know. He says, I materialize this poison in these people's bodies. He says, but Charles, if they do not return to Christ, their disease will return. I mean,
uh-huh.
that to me was like one of the most profound moments of my life, is to have a man of that dignity and humbleness just, you know, stare at me and say that after what I just saw. It was like, it changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, we almost all have life-changing moments. I just hope that the people listening today will actually, this will be their life-changing moment. At least open your mind. You know, everybody's been taught certain things in school, and that's fine. The only thing is that there's more to it. I've even noticed it with yours. I mean, you get us so hyped up. And then we go on to the next subject, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I want more. And for us to want more, that's good, but we have to look for the more. We have to actually pursue it if it excites you, and this all does. I mean, this just absolutely, it just makes my day. But what can we do in our own practices to comprehend all of this and actually put this into therapy?
Well, the first thing is to actually just buy a copy of this book, Ten Dimensions.
I second that wholeheartedly right there, yes.
You can get it off Amazon, or you can go to my website, Privyinfo, PRIVYINFO.org. You can order it off of there. We'll get your copy straight away. And start digesting all of this and see the dimensions that are there, the short and simple, and then the practical. Now, the practical is another dynamic to get involved with.
mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to shopping cart these remedies. You can make them yourself very simply, very electronically, as a matter of fact. And I do, on a custom basis, produce instruments for people I have a lady, a medical doctor, in Bogota, Colombia, and she came here 15, 20 years ago, and she bought two of my simulators. Uncannily, I found out not too long ago that she's still using those to this day. She has a complete pharmacy in her clinic with a full-time employee that does nothing but make remedies all day. And, you know, this is a medical doctor that's seeing, you know, 40, 50 patients a day,
mm-hmm.
using those simulators, making remedies. And I have quite a number of people that do that. I mean, I have two of them in my clinic. I use them all the time. I used it yesterday. I use it all the time because it just works. Works like magic.
Mm-hmm. Does that doctor that came from Bogota, her employee, because I read in your book, you know, you really have to, a homeopathic doctor, it says in your book, wouldn't allow someone else to make the remedies. So that person has been trained with to put intention and to do it with God, right?
I would assume so. Knowing Claudia, yes, that would be the case.
Okay.
Again, you know, the more intention you put into it, the more powerful the remedy is going to be.
Right.
So it just becomes a gestalt. You know, you come in my clinic, you will always see the Materia Medica on my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it is a Bible.
Right.
It's a Bible of remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the passages of that book probably better anybody in the world, to be frank with you, because I've been studying it for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love my Materia Medica.
Oh, you love history and medicine, please. I mean, just seriously. And while I'm thinking about it, you're going to be honored. You got the email, correct?
Yes.
From Nick, you want to tell people about that? I mean, I felt that was, it just gave me chills.
Well, they want to honor me with an award as I in microcurrent therapy. I am one of the vanguards. I go back to the earliest dates of Dr. Thomas Wing, who was one of my teachers, and substituting the acupuncture needle for microcurrent stimulation of topical points, and then from there I went on to develop the what's you know famously known now as the Jade system,
mm-hmm.
which we still manufacture these instruments. We just sent some people off on an airplane this morning that was here to learn more about how to use Jade because it just works so well, and we've expanded the Jade system. This will be announced in 2016. We have a way now to inject the homeopathic remedies into the probes, so as you massage people, you're literally hosing them down.
Wow.
With the energy. Wow. And I just had a conversation a few days ago with a coworker that I deal with. She's one of the oldest, what I call Jadeites in the system. And I believe she'll be at the Congress. I'm quite sure Kathy will be there. I want her to manage the booth for us.
Mm-hmm.
But she was telling me that there's a doctor that comes sees her that's very, very famous medical doctor in Puerto Rico. And she's using the card for weight loss in the Jade machine. And it has been the only thing that has worked to help her lose weight, because the fact is it's curbed her appetite. And she said it was so funny. She called up this doctor and she said she had to cancel an appointment, and the doctor almost broke out in tears. I can't, I have to be there. I got to get my treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a professor of medicine at a big university in San Juan, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she said it's just so unreal that this, she was just surprised this woman would even be open to this kind of treatment. He says, but she wants to get them all the time. So that's the power of homeopathy. That's
mm-hmm.
how it works.
Well, congratulations on getting this award, because it actually will demonstrate that what you're doing actually needs to be rewarded. It really does, because you have preserved so much history for us. I mean, I really just didn't realize it until I started perusing some of the books and all the things. And without you, some of this would be lost forever.
Well, I think it would be. And
mm-hmm.
it's just not the facts that's important. If the facts are there, they're Googleable. All of this is Googleable. I'll say it like Alex Jones. If you don't believe me, Google it yourself. Go ahead and look it up.
Right, exactly. I did, yes. Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is putting the pearls on the string and linking it all together into a wholesome concept, you know,
right.
where it becomes part of you. It's
mm-hmm.
like a gestalt.
Yes. Well, you don't have just bits and pieces. You got the clear picture, and that's what I like. Because I get bits and pieces of a whole bunch of different things. But somebody to sit there and actually put this all together like this, I commend you for doing this. I really just do. This is just a vault of knowledge that actually, one, would be lost without you. And second of all, this needs to be preserved, and without you it wouldn't be. And third, this is for every one of us, whether you're a practitioner or a patient. This is for us. This is for us. It's a gift. It's a gift, and I thank you for that gift. I really do.
Well, that's very kind of you, and I do it because, you know, it's my passion. And if we did not get this down in print as a complete whole, it would be lost.
Yes.
And I think there's certain powers that be that would like to see that done, and have been working on that actually for a century to make sure
mm-hmm.
it gets lost.
Exactly, yes. Well, they'd like their big pharma stuff to take over and be there and be the only choice. And I was reading in the book as well that, you know, Hahnemann believed in like treats like. And the pharmaceutical company is quite opposite. The opposite. They're trying to use opposites to treat. And maybe this is one of the reasons that it doesn't work quite as well. And intention, surely not there. So there's a couple of key ingredients missing.
Well, I'll say it. I'll say it all the time. There's nothing wrong with allopathic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They have a place. It's called emergency medicine.
Correct.
And it saves lives. It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a patient with active syphilis, active tuberculosis, active malaria, it saves lives. Do you want to trust cinchona bark in the 200th dilution for a patient that's actively going into sweats and fevers on a daily basis while the plasmodium recycles through their liver? I wouldn't. I would want to save their life.
Right.
But afterwards, after the crisis is over, yes, I would go right to cinchona bark to make sure that I rid the remnants of that out of their system once and for all, because otherwise they'll remain susceptible. They'll go get bit again.
Right.
Because they were weakened by the drug that was given to them, and the fact is they were susceptible in the first place. So they definitely have their place, and they have their place mostly in the emergency room or the urgent care center.
Right.
But, you know, as we know, outside of that, we have to look at core causes, and core causes is, you know, one, susceptibility, and two, nutritional deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we address as naturopathic physicians. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. But with naturopathic physicians, we actually address mind, body, and spirit, all three. And that's something that, we better. And I've known quite a few naturopaths that actually don't get that concept in their schools. I just read a blog about, you know, one of the big naturopathic schools here in the United States. And it was like, wow, I saw so much stuff missing. You know, the spirit wasn't there. Mind wasn't there. Intention wasn't there. Vital force, barely touched on. And it's like, oh, my God, that's one of the first things we learn in your school. You better know vital force, period. Even in a crustacean, you better know vital force. I know. I got to come back to some of this stuff. But it's true. You have to know it. And if you don't know it, then how can you call yourself a naturopath? If you do not address all mind, body, and spirit, I don't understand how you can call yourself a physician. I just don't.
Well, yes, that's the dilemma that we're in today. And that's why we need a new school.
We have your school. We have your school. You address all of it. The intentions, the vital force, mind, body, spirit. You preserve the history that we can actually count on. This stuff's been working for eons. Why in the heck would we want to change things? You know, man doesn't... we're not here to improve on something that's already working. You know, when they do these studies with placebo and whatever that they're trying to do and stuff, and you're going to find that a placebo, they say, oh, well, the placebo had better effect. Well, maybe. You want to explain that, Dr. McWilliams, why a placebo would have better effect?
Well, it has better effect because one is the patient was susceptible to suggestion.
Correct.
And obviously when a patient comes to a physician, they're more than susceptible to suggestion. They're actually looking for it.
Yes.
they're looking for an answer. And it's our job to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, you know, there's nothing wrong with practicing psychology.
Right.
And suggestion is a powerful force. And, you know, that's kind of the joke I do once in a while when I give a seminar here. I'll walk into the classroom with some dirty sneakers, blue jeans, and a baseball cap turned backwards and say, I'm your doctor.
Right.
And I just want to look at the, I want to look at the look on their face. You know, it's like, you're my doctor.
Uh-huh.
What ghetto did you come out of?
Uh-huh.
You've just lost all power of suggestion right there, which is why we need to be dressed properly. We need to be kempt. And we need to culture very carefully what words and how we say them. Because if we start to understand that the words that we say in our clinic become the medicine at all times,
mm-hmm.
probably more powerful than the medicine we're going to give going out the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, I was showing this to this lady yesterday because, you know, I live here in St. Kitts Nevis. I have a lot of local patients, and somebody came in, and I just started talking local to them. And, you know, this was an American. She's looking at me like, wow, it's like you almost speak another language. I could see it in her eye, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got through, the patient walked out, and I said, do you see how I operate? She says, yeah, I see how you operate. She said, why do you do that? I said, you have to get along with the local people on their level, get their trust and confidence. And when I'm no longer, you know, the great white doctor from North America, I'm one of them, I got their trust and confidence. I said, that's why I'm reaching now 7,000 patients in this federation. I had to,
wow.
Susan told me we have to buy another file cabinet. We don't have enough room for them. So it's you know, you have to deal with patients on the level that they're at, but at the same time, stay dignified, stay with them. And like I say here, I've got genuinely a family practice because I treat them all like my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the local people know that. And when they come to see me, they, you know, I have their trust. So therefore, all suggestions now I say have powerful intention.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It
and it gives them
just
hope.
Makes compliance.
Yeah. Well,
and
it
gives them
hope.
Yeah.
Yes. which is something sometimes that's all we can give until we find out or learn what is the root cause. Sometimes that's all we can do is give them hope.
Yes, but that hope itself is a very, very powerful medicine.
It is, yes. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that actually work. Yes, just hope.
It's the difference between a 3-month mortality and a 3-year longevity.
Absolutely, yes.
And I've seen it many, many times in my practice, and has allowed me to cultivate my personality for me as best I can with my patients that I deal with. Just maintain professional. You'll always see me in whites. That's the only way I dress, all white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife the same. She's in a full-scale nursing uniform, and we stay professional. No matter how the patient behaves, we're always above board, because I've had psychiatric patients in my clinic too, and I literally got threatened with my life one day.
Wow.
From a patient that had escaped from the hospital, unbeknown to me, and he was off his meds, and he roughed up my wife quite badly, you know, in the waiting room, and he was out to hurt somebody.
Right.
So I got through, but this was a case where I was later told, when I told the story to the relative, that he came in with a Bible and he was reading out of it, she says, "That's impossible because he can't read."
Oh, my gosh.
But he was reading out of this word for word.
Oh, my gosh.
He was possessed.
He
was possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a harrowing moment, but I got through.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, getting back to the book, you described 10 dimensions. Do you want to kind of go through them quickly while we got some time yet?
Well, certainly. The first chapter is on Hahnemann and his concepts of evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Second chapter goes into Schussler, who basically, I say, is the father of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
He basically determined that nutritional deficiencies of certain mineral salts affect the organism. And as much as people don't understand, Schussler did not agree with Hahnemann.
Mm-hmm.
He was more on the side of physic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you study Schussler's theories very carefully, it basically came off the school of Liebig, which was, you know, the growth of the organism is limited by the limiting nutrient. That's where he was coming from, and that was very well known in the German school of agriculture there. So he basically discovered that a human organism basically is affected by what later became to be known trace elements.
Right.
And that's the second chapter. But that is the dimension of homeopathy, and it was and still is included in the Materia Medicus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into the third chapter, which is the graphic drug pictures, which I've alluded to, where Kent and Herring and other authors got into this concept of the propensity or proclivity of certain people having personalities that gravitated them to these remedies that were basically toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And that is replete throughout the Materia Medicus. And then, of course, you had Dr. Gallivardin, the Catholic priest who was giving remedies to mothers to treat fathers and children. And he insisted the remedies were so powerful you could even put them in a cup of coffee. How about that?
Wow. That's my kind of doctor there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gallivardin was a very, very famous, and his son also became a doctor and was also famous in the French school. Then the fourth dimension goes into isopathy, and this was actually started by a veterinarian where he produced remedies of toxic excretions, gave them to animals, and saw them get better. And, of course, we know today, those of us who practice deep homeopathy, we know that the use of nosodes are pivotal in our practice.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an autism case, it's the nosode that turns the case because they've been vaccinated so many times with these poisonous toxins, and giving the remedies made from vaccines turns cases literally. It's a very, very powerful school of application.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth dimension, which is mind-boggling, is Dr. Vahey. Now, Dr. Vahey basically bridged the gap between acupuncture and homeopathy because he discovered the fact that the manifestation of the drugs, which we would call proving, actually convey themselves to a specific singular spot on the body that becomes spontaneously tender, if not excruciating, in pain. And he spent his whole life palpating these points, and he was basically saying, listen, you don't have to repertorize, just palpate the point. If it's tender, give them the remedy. Don't worry about it. And
right.
It set off, as it's been said, it set the homeopathic world on fire in France in the late 1800s. I've written an entire manual on this because I made the study even further, and it even gets to the point, excuse the pardon the pun, that we have palpation points for food allergies.
Right.
We can actually palpate a point specific for chocolate, potatoes, wheat, sugar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the tenderness is the diagnosis, period. And it also tells you the remedy.
Wow.
And it's also a form of treatment.
Right. Is this why you included or you upgraded your jade?
Yes,
okay. All right, makes sense now.
Yeah,
yes?
we're going to have I just posted a 5-day workshop here in Nevis in March, and we're going to do palpation workshops in the afternoon. I'm going to teach where all these points are. It's
mm-hmm.
a learning curve, I have to admit. I mean, these locations of these points are very, very specific. It's just like going to acupuncture school.
Mm-hmm.
But they're there, and they're very useful. So when you have a patient and you want to know that they've got an allergy to tomato, all you have to do is reach over to the middle of the delt, the brachialis muscle, push down. If it's tender and sore, you know that they're allergic to tomato. That's it.
Wow. Wow.
And you can also give that remedy if you want.
Right. Wow.
Now, Chapter 7 goes into a very, very interesting aspect of the work of Dr. Pfeiffer and Rudolf Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
And this has to do with patterns that appear on glass when frosted. And, of course, as we know, that what they basically did was they put blood mixed with a copper sulfate compound in Petri dishes, and they noticed that certain patterns appeared when the liquid dried. And they got it to a point to where it became diagnostic.
Mm-hmm.
That there was patterns for each kind of disease. And I've been told there is a laboratory in Germany to this day that still does this. You can send them a sample of a patient's blood. They can Petri dish it. They can incubate it and dry it, and they can tell you what's wrong with them.
Wow.
It's a fascinating study, but this is all part of ether physics.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chapter 8 goes into the Bache flower remedies. Dr. Bache was, of course, a bowel nosode homeopath. People don't really understand that history. But he was an expert in bacteriology. He worked with a Dr. James Patterson and a Charles Wheeler. And there are a series of what we call bowel nosodes that he produced, as well as Dr. Patterson. And by the way, those bowel nosodes, when you have dysbiosis,
mm-hmm.
they are in practice, they are magic. They are
wow.
magic, I can tell you. They can turn irritable bowel around in 30 days.
Wow.
Now, he got sick himself, and he went out to the countryside in England and got this vision that real answer was a higher spiritual dimension than dealing with scatology.
Mm-hmm.
And he developed the flower remedies, which means you basically pick the flower when it's ripe, you put it in water with brandy in full sunlight for one day, and then you cap the remedy, and that's it. That's how you make them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Basically, just a form of holy water.
Right.
And then in the ninth chapter, we go into radionics. And this is where homeopathy, thanks to Dr. Abrams, went from classical diluting methods all the way through Bache's method of using sunlight in the flower, and now it went into the realm of electronics,
mm-hmm.
where it's now understood, and of course Tesla amplified this, if you pardon the pun, that mm-hmm. ether travels with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity is simply the carrier of it, and that the essence of certain things can be transferred through wires, which led to Malcolm Ray developing what was called the simulator, which is something I've used for 30 years, where a sample, in essence, a single little tiny leaf off a tree, with the use of a magnet or electromagnetic field, you can grab the signature off and you can put it into a bottle of water.
Wow.
And that's how simply we can make the remedies. It's now, I mean, hundreds of people have been doing this for decades.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing it for 30 years in my practice. I can just tell you that it works just as well as any remedy you're going to buy off shopping cart. But it actually works better because if you're making it yourself, the intention is put into the bottle too.
Correct, yes.
Yes. So in other words, it's a one-time purchase. You can have 1,000 remedies in your practice for just a few $1,000, and that's all you'll need the rest of your practice.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because you have the physical sample preserved in alcohol, and it's good forever.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go away. And you just graft off that time and again, time and again, time and again. It's just like yesterday I had a patient come in, and her chief complaint was allergy to ant bites. And I'm saying to myself, allergy to ant bites? So her husband pulls his cell phone out. He says, he shows me a picture of it. I said, my God. I said, do you have to hospitalize her? Almost. I mean, her legs swell up like huge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what's the remedy? Formica rufa, crushed live ants.
Mm-hmm.
Just happen to have a sample on the shelf because I've used it before many times.
All right.
So there's my remedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 10th chapter.
You've got to get a remedy for no-see-ums, will you? I mean, you can't even see them, so I'm not sure how that's going to happen. But everybody in Florida has been getting these no-see-ums, and they're painful. I mean, just painful. Just to me, they're even worse than ant bites. They are horrid. So if you can catch a no-see-um, that would be a good remedy.
It would. And we have them here, too,
yeah.
By the way. They come out.
Yeah.
They come out at dusk. Yeah.
Oh, horrid. Yes. Okay, and your
last chapter is on bioenergetics, which goes into the fact of making remedies from magnets. Magnetic water itself becomes a remedy.
Mm-hmm.
Hahnemann, you know, basically started that. I go into the geophysics of electromagnetic fields, how that's affecting the planet. And by the way, dissipative structures, which was Prigogine's Nobel Prize winning 1977 work on thermodynamics,
mm-hmm.
which brings to life in a modern physic way what we do in homeopathy. And also the fact of the biophoton theory, that there are photonic dimensions to homeopathy as well.
Right.
It's not just molecular.
Right.
There's electronic and there's even photonic
mm-hmm.
aspects to these remedies. And I cover that in the book, at least to get a basic understanding.
And we're going to have
dimensions.
Right, and we're going to have a biophoton machine actually at the conference. Heinrich's bringing it. And it's awesome. It is just awesome. So I want to remind everyone, because we're almost out of time, I've actually extended this. We usually only do an hour, but I knew Dr. McWilliams has so much to say that I always extend it out a half an hour just in case we run over. But everyone, you need to get your tickets to the 2016, and Dr. McWilliams calls it the World Congress. It's the 2016 Positions Roundtable World Congress, and it's January 29th through 31st at Tampa Convention Center. This is nothing like anything you've ever been to before. Nothing like you've ever been to. If you go to one conference in 2016, it should be this one. These people are coming, and actually I think we're up to 19 countries, and I think we're up to 31 speakers. So this is phenomenal. It is just phenomenal. I can hardly wait for the energy in that room. I mean, I can just anticipate
yes.
it. Yeah.
We just added Dr. George from Cyprus coming in.
Yes. Yes, I'm just waiting on his material, and then once we get that, I'll make sure it's posted, and you'll get everything. I mean, just everything. And it's low cost. The tickets are $175 for almost 3 days worth of lectures, roundtable, workshops, book signings, meeting all these people, networking. And then on Sunday, you want to tell about Sunday? I mean, this is the PhD Resistance. This is the final, the cherry on the sundae. What's going to happen Sunday?
Well, this is the cause célèbre of our heritage, our history, who and what we are, what we bring to the table, and the tradition that we have. It's the investiture of the Knights of the Order of Hope, along with the Knights of Lazarus. And we're also being joined by Dr. Serge from Portugal, of the Portuguese Order of the Knights Hospitaller, of which he's Grand Master. So we have three different knightly orders that will be involved in this grand investiture at the House of Prayer, where we celebrate who we are, our tradition, our heritage, and we bring new people into the order. And that will occur at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and we'll be done. Oh, I would say probably 5:30.
Right.
So, it's an unforgettable experience for people that have never had something like this happen. And this is what we do. This is a brotherly and sisterly camaraderie that we all have and share in this
right.
glory.
Right, exactly. And it's something to see. It's something to behold. If you are not even... sure you want to join the order or you want to know more about it or whatever, I'll tell you, it brings chills just to see this pageantry, just to see this history, and it's awesome. I mean, I'll never forget when I joined the order. I will never forget it. It was, you know, you talked about that life-changing moment. That was mine. That was mine. It was forever life-changing. I think about it every day. I talk about it every day. It's just something, it's a calling. It just really is. But I would never have found it had I not found, you know, Dr. Van Dunnick, and he led me to the order. So I thank him for that. And he'll be at the conference. He's actually one of our roundtable group leaders, and he's also speaking at the conference. But we have, I think there are 31 speakers in 17, 18, 19 countries. I think there's 19 now. So we're going to be well-rounded. This is something you'll actually want to come to. Well, we're almost out of time.
Yes.
Well, we actually were. But do you have any parting words for anyone? How about where they can get more information on the order, where they can order your books, and where they can actually sign up or investigate the Pan American College? I highly recommend it.
Well, there's three websites. There's smoch.org, smoch.org. If you can also just Google Knights of Hope, it'll come right up. There's the School of Natural Medicine, all one word, .info, or panamuniversity.org. You can go through those two portals to learn about the school. And then there's my private website on all the books I've written, which is PriviInfo, PriviInfo.org. And you can see all the articles I've written down through the years. You can click on those links and get information. And you can also order the books, because I've written a lot of them, and they're freely available.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this one is just fabulous. I can hardly wait to spend the rest of the day going through it. So anybody have any questions, you call 717-254-1953. I can direct you to anything that you need or that you've heard about here today, the conference, books, websites, Dr. McWilliams. I can actually guide you there. So it's 717-254-1953. And I thank you for being here and taking the time out of your day, Dr. McWilliams.
Well, I thank you, Dr. Vogan, for all that you do and the passion that you have to perpetuate this history and glory for us.
Absolutely. Amen. All right. With that, we'll have a great day in Nevis. We're going to have a great day here in the States. Everyone enjoy the rest of your day and join us next Sunday, same time, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to bring Dr. McWilliams back, and this is going to be a regular feature every Sunday morning. Thank you. Have a great day.